Welcome to Zion Teacher Series. Today's teacher is Dr. Brian J. Bailey. Dr. Bailey is an internationally known Bible teacher and prolific author of over 40 books, which have been translated into more than 25 languages. In his over 50 years of ministry, Dr. Bailey has traveled to over 100 countries, ministering in churches, Bible schools, pastors' conferences, and leadership seminars. Dr. Bailey is currently president of Zion Fellowship International and senior pastor of Zion Chapel, both of which are located in Waverly, New York, overlooking O'Brien's Restaurant and Hotel. He is also president of Zion Ministerial Institute and Zion University, which has over 30 affiliated Bible schools worldwide. In today's edition of Zion Teacher Series, Dr. Bailey will address the subject of King David. David epitomized the life, nature, and character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He establishes a pattern that instructs us on how we can reign as kings and priests with the Lord today and throughout eternity. Let us open our hearts and receive all that God has for us through His Word.
Welcome to our new series on the two kings, David and Solomon. Surely the best known kings in the whole history of mankind, and certainly in the history of Israel. These two kings were father and son. They were the two kings who ruled over the United Kingdom of Israel, and they set up a dynasty from about 1010 BC to 586 BC, when the siege of Jerusalem caused the abrupt ending of the dynasty of David and Solomon through the Babylonian conquest. But these two kings are extremely well known. David, of course, is known for two main, if I could say, facts in his life. One, the tremendous victory he had over Goliath, and then the shameful situation with Bathsheba. We will consider these in our episodes, and we're going to look, first of all, at the beginning of David's life as a gentle shepherd boy in the fields of Bethlehem, looking after, as his brother said, a few sheep in those fields. Bethlehem was the house of bread. And it's very significant because Bethlehem is, if I could say this, significant of the actual ministry and kingship of David. The house of bread. He fed with integrity the children of Israel that he reigned over in his later life. But Bethlehem also, of course, was the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he, of course, himself said, "I am the bread of life." God works things out so very beautifully. And even in the birthplace of David and his greatest son, we have an understanding of their ministry and their life, their purpose. But now let us concentrate for this series on King David himself. He was the young shepherd boy who was going to reign over the kingdom of Israel, and at the time of his youth, there was another king on the throne, Saul. Saul had been raised up by God at the request of the people, because prior to that, Israel had been ruled over by people like Moses, Joshua, the judges, the prophet Samuel, people under the direct guidance of God. But as Samuel got older, the people said, "Give us a king like other nations. We want to be not one that is ruled by prophets, but one that is ruled by a king." And Samuel was angry, but God said, "They have not rejected you, Samuel, but they have rejected me." And so in God's anger, he gave them a man to rule over them, that from every outward appearance was just what they wanted, a man head and shoulders above the the other people. He was of the family of Kish, the tribe of Benjamin. But there had been no mention in the prophetic word and holy scriptures about any king coming from the tribe of Benjamin. You see, the spirit of prophecy rules the whole of the Word of God. And God will do nothing but that He reveals it to His servants, the prophets. And therefore, as we look at Holy Scripture, we see not only the past and the present, the historical present, but also God showing the future. But God had not spoken of any king, any ruler coming out of Benjamin. And it was not in His perfect will that a man of the tribe of Benjamin, which was really a tribe that was very cruel, like a wolf, that was the prophecy given concerning Benjamin. And so God had not spoken of a ruler coming out of Benjamin, but He gave the people the desires of their heart. And He gave this man Saul to rule over them. Well, Samuel was told to anoint Saul, which he did with a bottle with oil in it. Now you say, why do you mention that? Well, it's interesting. You see, a bottle is made by man. And so, in actuality, it was the will of the people that Saul was anointed to be king. He was anointed twice, but the character of Saul, you know, at the beginning was very good. He was little in his own eyes, and he hearkened to what God told him through Samuel the prophet. He was obedient, but then his heart changed, and he was more concerned with what the people thought than what God thought. This was his undoing, because God gave him a commandment to destroy the Amalekites, a nation that had descended from Esau, who in actuality had, if I could say this, rejected the promises of God. The Amalekites speak of the works of the flesh. And so God wanted them destroyed. And he gave that commandment to Saul. Well, Saul went and destroyed the Amalekites, but he was also told to destroy all their belongings, all their sheep, all their cattle, and certainly their king. But when Samuel came after the battle to see Saul, he said, well, what are the bleatings of these sheep? What is the cattle for? Why have you kept the king? And Saul said, well, I have obeyed. But he said, these sheep, these cattle were so good. He said, I thought to sacrifice them unto God, and obviously the people would be able to eat the flesh thereof. And Samuel uttered these awesome words. He said, obedience is better than sacrifice. And disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft. God wants utter obedience, not sacrifice and offering. Well, God then said through Samuel, I have rejected Saul, and I have found me a man after mine own heart who will do all my will. You see, this is what God wants. We find it, of course, in Psalm 40. We find it elsewhere in the Scripture, you know, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, where it says, you know, I am come to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will. The Lord Jesus Christ was called the greater son of David. Well, God said to Samuel, I have found a man after mine own heart who will do all my will. And he said, he is one of the sons of Jesse, who lives in Bethlehem. And so Samuel was directed by God to go to the house of Jesse. And he gave the commandment to Jesse that the sons of Jesse should appear before him. And he looked at the first son. Oh, what what a splendid specimen of mankind he was, Eliab. And Samuel said in his heart, well, surely this is the one that God hath chosen. But God said, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. He said, I have not chosen him. Well, Samuel commanded all the sons, 7 sons, to appear before him. And God said, no, I have not chosen any of these. So in consternation, Samuel turned to Jesse and said, well, have you not got anybody else? And Jesse said, well, I've got my youngest, he said, who is David, but he's a youth, a stripling, and he's looking after few of the sheep in the fields. And Samuel said, well, he said, summon him, we shall not eat before he comes. And then when David came in, he was handsome, very ruddy, fine youth. The Lord said to Samuel, arise, anoint him, for this is the one I have chosen. And so Samuel anointed David with a horn of oil. Horn, of course, comes from the sheep, a ram, and it was obviously God's creation. In other words, this anointing was saying to everybody, it has the approval of God. And so David was anointed by Samuel. What can we say of this young man? Well, his experience for the kinghood at the time of his anointing was simply he had watched over a few sheep. And he was called the sweet psalmist of Israel. I think we all know his magnificent psalm, Psalm 23, and also Psalm 8. Let us consider these beautiful psalms together, shall we, before we continue. Because he was known as the shepherd king, he was known as the sweet psalmist of Israel, and he had such an insight into the character of God through his calling as a shepherd. Psalm 23, as I've already said, is perhaps the best known psalm of all. And what does it say? It starts off with, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Here was this young boy. He was looking after the sheep. He cared for them. He made sure that they had no needs or wants, but he had a relationship with God out on those fields, and he said, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I might be a shepherd, but there's a chief shepherd who watches over not just the sheep, but over me. I shall not want. Do you know that shepherd? Isn't it so wonderful to know the Lord? Because the Lord himself said of himself in John's Gospel, chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Well, a good shepherd looks after the sheep. He also guides them. And, you know, David said, he leads me into green pasture. He restoreth my soul. And then he goes on by saying this, that though he will lead me through the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. What confidence that brings to those on their deathbed. They know the good shepherd. You know, he is going to lead them through the valley of the shadow of death, and they shall fear no evil, for they shall come out of that shadow into the bright sunlight of heaven's pastures above. Well, he then goes on to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I had a friend, a pastor friend, many years ago, and he was walking along streets of his hometown, and a lady who knew him, but who was a fortune teller, came up to him and said, Pastor, can I tell you your fortune? She had taken his hand, about to read the lines on his hand. He shook his hand away from her, and he said, "My fortune has already been told. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Is that your fortune? That goodness, these two blessings, goodness and mercy, shall follow you? That you know the Good Shepherd, and that you will not want, he will be caring for you. Well, there was another psalm that this shepherd boy wrote, and it's Psalm 8. And it's very interesting indeed, because he went out into the night sky, you know, as shepherds do. They watch over their sheep by night, as we're told. When the Lord himself was born, there were shepherds watching their flock by night, and the angels of the Lord appeared, and they said, "Peace on earth." That's what a shepherd wants to hear, peace on earth, peace. Well, here, David, that youth, watching over these few sheep, he looked up into the night sky, and he said along these lines, "You know, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast created, looking into billions of light years away," he said, "what is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man whom thou watchest over." Looking at the greatness of the heavens that God had created, King David comes back to this point and he says, "But what is man that thou art mindful of him?" You know, in his maturing years, he wrote another psalm along these lines, Psalm 139, and he said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And then he goes on to say, you know, "And all my members were written in thy book as thou didst form me in the womb of my mother." You know, David had such a revelation of the greatness of God who had formed the universe and yet was so concerned over each one of us. Why? Because we are unlike the sun, the moon, and the stars. We are made in the very likeness of God himself, in the image of Almighty God did he make man. And you see, we are so made with infinite care that all our members were written in God's book before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ even went so far as to say this, that every one of our hairs has a number. Oh, King David had this understanding of the greatness, the absolute greatness of God. He could, if I could say, cast the stars into the universe, the moon, and so forth, the sun. And yet, he can, with great detail, form each and every one of us. Well, as we said, David now had been anointed, and when he was anointed by Samuel, well, the anointing left King Saul, and an evil spirit came upon him, the spirit of jealousy. And at this time, Saul with the army were facing the Philistines, or the Palestinians as we know them today. And they had a leader, and the leader's name was Goliath, a mighty giant of a man, towering over everybody else. And that giant would come out day after day and challenge the armies of Israel. He said, "There's no need for the two armies to fight." He said, "I will fight for the Philistines. You send from the armies of Israel a man to fight against me." And he said, "Whoever wins, will determine which nation serves the other. He said, if they kill me, we will serve you, but if I kill your champion, then you will serve us. Well, Israel and Saul were afraid. David was sent up by his father to look after his brothers who were with the army, and he inquired, what is the problem? They told him about Goliath, and the anointing was so upon young David that he came to King Saul and he said, I will go against Goliath. Saul said, but you are a stripling, you've had no experience as a man of war. But David said, the anointing of the Lord is upon me. And he said, I will go out. And then he said, you know, in times past, when a lion and a bear came against the sheep, I went after them. I rescued the lamb. I slew the lion. I slew the bear. And the same God that was with me, who slew the lion and the bear, will be with me when I come against Goliath. Well, Saul wanted to put armor upon him, but David said, I haven't proven this armor. And he went against Goliath with 5 smooth stones and a sling. You wonder why 5? Well, 5 speaks of grace. He was going under the anointing. He was going by the grace of God against this tremendous man of war. Well, what was the result? You see, he actually ran towards Goliath. No fear had David. Why? The others were afraid. But you see, the others were not living uprightly. And it said that the righteous are as bold as a lion. And so King David, well, he'd been anointed king. He wasn't king then. But as a young boy, he ran towards Goliath. He had no fear of this giant. The anointing of God was upon him. 5 smooth stones, he selected one. He whirled his sling, and you know that stone went with such precision by the anointing of God, it went into the very forehead of Goliath. We're told it sunk into his forehead. The giant fell down, his face towards the earth. David ran towards him, took his sword and cut off his head and held his head up triumphantly. The Philistines or the Palestinians were now fearful. Israel were now bold, and they rushed towards the Philistines and they slew them in great numbers. Oh, what a mighty victory. The victory came because David was anointed. He brought down the Goliath. Now, the point that I want to bring out, if I could say this in closing this particular episode, is that's a historical fact. You see, David anointed and kills the lion and the bear when he was a little shepherd boy, but killed the Goliath. Goliath was the one that held Israel in absolute fear. Israel were the people of God. The Philistines or the Palestinians were the enemy. And I want to, in closing, bring this down to a very practical level. You see, Goliath speaks of envy and jealousy. The Philistines really basically are filled with envy and jealousy, as we see earlier on in Genesis 26. But the point that I want to bring out, you see, is this. Are you in bondage? Have you got a family problem? Have you got a problem in your own life? Is there a circumstance that is oppressing you? That is causing you to be fearful? You know, the whole nation of Israel were bound with fear. They were almost paralyzed by fear because of this Goliath. It might well be that you're in a similar situation, that there's a circumstance or even a person that oppresses you, a person perhaps in your own family person, you know, that comes into your daily life, a situation that absolutely binds you and you have no freedom. But I want to say this, that the same anointing that came upon King David and brought down that Goliath, that same anointing can come upon you. You can so cry out to God. You can ask God for an anointing to come upon you, and you can so pray in the Spirit that that situation in your life, whether it's a person or a circumstance, can be brought down and you can be free. You see, God has declared in the book of Romans through the Apostle Paul that we should be more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And he said, what can separate us from the love of God? And he lists about 17 things that cannot separate us from the love of God. And that is the truth that I want to leave with you, that you can so pray, you can so have the anointing of God upon you, that you can believe for that Goliath to disappear in your life, and you can have a freedom, you can have an open door, you can have a life that is so filled with joy and hope, and that Goliath, that oppression, can absolutely disappear from your life. This is the abundant life in Christ that he wants you to have. And may God encourage you through this experience of that young shepherd boy who brought deliverance to a nation. God can do the same to you and bring you deliverance and happiness and victory in your own life. May God richly bless you. Thank you.